Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking black bookers, those guys we are jotting down in our little books before the preseason starts, before even the final series has started, just to who we're looking at next year, who might get a role change, move to another team, set for a breakout in their respective sides. But a bit of news coming out of the week. I'm just glad finals are here because it was a boring weekend. I mean, I don't know about you, Steve, but I actually had to spend time with the missus and it was painful.
Well, it might not have been as painful as my golf game on Saturday. I haven't played in about 6 weeks and...
Well, you are a fair weather type of athlete, aren't you?
Well, that's true. And well, my membership's I'm lapsing my membership, so I wanted to get out one last time before it ended. And it was painful. I'm glad it's over. So screw you, golf.
Back to the bowls for you, is it?
Yeah, going back to bowls, win another flag, all that sort of thing.
But the Gold Coast. Welcome to you, Statesman. I know you're the second most powerful man there in Tasmania. So what have you done? Redirected all the hydroelectricity to your house to keep warm? Because it is pretty cold out there.
It is certainly. Just finished being on North Hobart Oval and it was absolutely freezing. There's not too many days I can say in Tassie. You start the day with no snow on the mountain and you finish the day and it's absolutely covered. But that's what happened today. But I enjoyed and kept a very busy weekend last weekend, even though we had the week off from finals. And I was up your way, gentlemen, had the weekend very busy in Melbourne and quite enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, I got that shiver down my spine on Friday night. That makes sense. It's just been a plane landing and...
Just scaring yourself. You hear the screeching of glass on your front window there.
Yeah, it was a horror. It was horror. It was not good.
There was no ice at the airport because the salt came down before I got
Boom.
There.
But some news out of the week. The Gold Coast Suns have released their delistings, and crowd favourite Jared Grant, old microphone head, has been given the boot after kicking about 40 goals in three games in the Neefle. So I don't think he'll be getting picked up anywhere. Your favourite Statesman, Mitch Hallahan, has been delisted as well. Ryan Davis as well. Keegan Brooksby and Cam Laresh, who hadn't played a game, who was a rookie, also delisted. Josh Shackey pulled out of the Neefle Grand Final this weekend. Just had enough. Can't be bothered. Wants to come back home and freshen up for the pre-season. Do you reckon he'll seek a trade to a Melbourne club, even though he did sign a two-year deal? It was at the start of this year.
Yeah, it looks certainly on the cards right now. But it's one of those things, even though they sign up, they're still a tradable commodity these days, and the system's changed a little bit. But you never know. It just could be a nice little bonus for Brisbane. I know they're interested in Mason Cox, and certainly Collingwood are after a key position player. So that might be something that can be worked out.
Cox and Maine for Shackey. Good deal.
Yes.
And Sharon Berg.
No. Let's settle down. I think Keegan Brooksby is interesting. I know it's a club like Richmond could use someone like him as depth at least. Like he's had some good forward efforts in the Neefle and a bit of part-time ruck. They could use that as depth, surely.
Certainly work, yeah.
It's an interesting one. He's a very young player in his football career terms, but he's actually 28 years of age. So, it was an interesting selection when he got picked up, and credit to him. He got the opportunity very late at an AFL career, but at that age, I think it's probably a little bit unlikely.
Well, can't do any worse than Ty Vickery punch another bloke coming back from his suspension already, so he's out of the Box Hill team. They've made the prelim, so we'll certainly miss the grand final if they do make it. And reports as well that he's up for trade, but I don't think anyone's going to take him. Maybe Richmond, because they need a key position, don't they?
Boom.
But did you hear this one, guys? Now that North Melbourne lost the race for Dusty's signature, they're going after their next high-priority target in Donuts Motlop. Nice. Like, how does it go from Dusty to Donuts? Seriously.
Well,
there's got to be a middle ground there.
I was hoping Collingwood would get Donuts, to be honest. Or I actually thought GWS made a bit of sense. Like, can you see if Devin Smith's going to Geelong, is being mooted, they need forward pressure. And I don't know if you guys have been listening to the Drill podcast, but when Stephen Motlop was playing like the first month and a half, 2 months in the forward pocket for Geelong, he was rated elite. They could use him.
So was Chris Mayne, so. But hey, look how that turned out.
And mental.
Well, I'm just no, but he was defensive pressure efforts. That's, I mean, you know, that's what GWS need, quite frankly.
True.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, let's get some black bookers, boys. I'm keen to hear you got.
We'll kick off with the social media. We are running throughout the whole of the year. We do not take a break here on the Draft Doctors. So if you've got any questions, hit us up on the social media. We are at the Draft Doctors and at Statesman33 on Twitter. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We're also on Instagram now, where we are just searching the Draft Doctors there. And also check out the Facebook page, search the Draft Doctors there. But we are talking black bookers, as we said at the top of the show. Just players who we think are going to have a breakout year, switch clubs, get DDP, or whatever. So kicking off is Steve. Who have you got, pal?
They're going to get Diamond Dallas Page?
Yes. Yes, they are.
I'm making the diamond cutter people. No, okay. So
DPP, sorry.
I've seen the lists, and quite frankly, I might have gone a bit easy. My black bookers is like putting winks in the back of your mind for next year's Cox plate. But my first effort is Darcy Parrish. Essendon players obviously had two seasons. So I'm looking for an improvement in Darcy Parrish going into year three. We know the year three is often somewhat of a breakout for people. I think it's in the realm of possibility for Darcy Parrish. Why is it? Well, Essendon play that very high possession game style. He's averaged 20 and 21 disposals in his two seasons. You know, he's played 38 games, I think. It's pretty good for a high 70s Dream Team average and a mid 70s Supercoach average. But I'm looking for him to switch to a pure inside role. We know Joe Watson's out. He's 10 contested possessions a game. He's still their leading clearance player. Darcy Parrish is their fourth best contested ball winner. I'm expecting him to, well, I'm hoping that he would take over that inside role going into next year. We know they've tried David Myers this year. David Myers is 29, I think, next season. It's never really clicked for him, despite being a high pick, injuries and form, and obviously the suspension issues. It just didn't click for David Myers. I don't think he's part of their next premiership effort. Darcy Parrish is. If Job's gone and he gets inside there, he should be able to bump up his tackle count, which was quite low, and it should be able to bump up his possession count, and he should also... He's averaging around the mid-70s game time. I'm hoping that gets into the low 80s. So you're looking for another 6-7% game time. That's obviously equaling more points. So I'm thinking he can build a better score through higher disposals, better tackle numbers in a possession-heavy team. And, you know, I guess the question are those moves going to happen? It's something we'll watch for in the off-season. Maybe Essendon add another midfielder, and that hurts what Darcy Parrish can do, but he's one I like to break out. What do you guys think about that one?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Darcy Parrish. I certainly be interested to see what they do in Ultimate Footy and what positional status he actually gets, because this year, with most of the midfielders coming back, he had to play different roles. I agree with you, he's going to start heading into becoming that pure midfielder, but there is a chance in Ultimate Footy that we actually might see him as a forward for 2018, which would be a real bonus in his breakout year. And certainly 39 games for a third-year player, as he's going to be next year before he starts that third year, is remarkable. There's not too many players you get there. So he's really built up. He understands the level, and he's a quality young player, and I think he is set for a big breakout next year.
The only worry I have is we haven't seen a big ceiling score. You would have thought he would have had the chance to knock out a real, like, I think he's just pushed into the low tons. Like, I would have expected a 120 just at some point, just through sheer opportunity. So
that would also come down to circumstance last year when he's playing in a, what you call a lesser team as well.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't really, like, his kick to handball ratio is just slightly in favor of the handball. So we know that can hurt your ceiling score. So it'll just be interesting to see.
Two, his highest scores this year were two 114s.
Well, the problem is in Supercoach, I guess, for the Supercoach players, he's really, he just gets baked in it. I don't even think he had a ton this year in Supercoach.
96 was his top score
in
Supercoach.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know. I still like him as a good breakout. And if he gets forward status, as you commented, that'd be ring-a-ding-ding. He'd be an early pick.
Yeah, definitely. My first pick is similar lines to yours there, Steve. It's Dom Sheed from West Coast Eagles. He's entering his fifth year of AFL footy. Hasn't missed a bit through injury, but played 18 games this year and 22 years ago. So he's right for the picking now. You're losing Matt Prittis and Sam Mitchell to that midfield. So it's time for him to step up and lead that brigade. Look, his time on ground's about 74%, so that's not bad for a guy playing his fifth year of football. As Steve said with Darcy Parrish, I'd like to see that push up into the low, high 90s, low 80s for him.
The high 90s? Averaging Jesus.
80s, sorry. I'd like to, and his possessions, he's averaging about 22.5 a game, like Steve, building his score through the, more possession and tackles. Look, he's playing that third, fourth midfield role. For the Eagles this year, just racked up a lazy 428 possessions. That's not too bad for someone of for him. Look, he just needs to stay fit for me, and he'll get that game consistency. We've seen the scores come out for him this year, some big tons in both formats. With that 85 average, we saw in both formats, like low 90s, mid-90s would be a realistic expectation for next year for me, for him, which would be, what, your M6 for, probably? What are your thoughts, guys?
Yeah, I'm with you on Dom Sheed. We know the guys are moving out of the midfield. He'll get his opportunity. Yeah, he should improve. There's no reason he shouldn't.
Yeah.
As a classic example this year, when Prittis had the layoff, the 3-4 weeks off when they didn't select him, Dom Sheed actually got the midfield minutes. And certainly tunned up each and every one of those weeks. Just struggled when you had both Mitchell and Prittis playing. He just didn't get the midfield time. Played a few games where he scored well, where he played up a bit of a link-up role. But, look, if he was against a tough opponent, not getting the midfield time, he just didn't get the scores on the board. And as you say, with both Mitchell and Prittis out next year, that's what they're going to be looking for. And my first pick, gentlemen, is on exactly the same lines. It's the ex-Brisbane gun-turned-West Coast struggler in Jack Redden, 27 years of age, but we know this man's a scoring jet. Five seasons averaging over 94 in AFL fantasy scoring, three seasons above tons. So 2011 at 109, 2012 102, 2013 94 was his average, 2014 105, and 2015 97. So very consistent. It's a 15-point ratio from his best season to his lowest season in that five-year bracket, where he was at scoring the absolute best. In his two seasons at West Coast, he struggled to cement an inside midfield role, and with the departure of Prittis and Mitchell, which we've mentioned before, West Coast need his consistent, hard-nosed footy skills, gentlemen. I can see the big two winners when we're talking the midfield time will be Jack Redden and Dom Sheed, and both of them had a fair bit of that midfield time this year. Whilst they had Prittis and Mitchell, now they're going to need that covered.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Sorry, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I love Jack Redden. Absolutely. He was one of my contenders as well. I think we all see the potential in the West Coast engine room.
Certainly do. Who is your second pick there, Steve?
Well, let's make it three in a row, boys, because I've got another West Coast player. But slightly different lines. I've gone for Liam Duggan. Two things I'm looking for Liam Duggan, and that is Duggan to get defensive status, which I think will happen. And I'm also looking for Yo to get more midfield time, which is going to be the key for Liam to score more. The way I see Yo is like your Luke Parker type. I mean, he won't get that sort of midfield minute, but he's the most flexible of the guys in who can play midfield for West Coast. He's the ultimate utility. I mean, the guy could play ruck if you needed him to. One thing we saw is when Yo got midfield time, it dragged him out of the defensive line, and that's when Duggan actually put a few good games together. We know it's something Statesman looked at early in the year where when we were talking about flag chances, that they didn't really have someone to run and carry off the half-back line. Well, I'm thinking it's potentially Duggan. He's a highest pick going into his fourth year. He's shown a good ceiling. He's topped 120 in both formats. I think the potential is there. It's going to be what they do with Yo as to how well Duggan can score. Because I think Wellingham sort of, he's just been a bit flaky for mine at West Coast as well. So I think the potential is there for Duggan to really nail down that half-back role. And I think he can average 85, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, totally love the pick. Been a fan of the old Hacksaw Jim Duggan for quite a quite a bit. Good to see you know your old wrestlers there, Statesman. Quality pick, and I wouldn't mind if he did get that defensive status as well.
Yeah, turns 21 later this year. So a player of that age that's actually played 43 games shows you there's a fair bit of faith in the coaching panel in him. So going into his fourth season in 2018, and with those departures, and there'll be a few more that comes along for West Coast because they've got a few older players on that list. And when we talk about Wellingham's just about to turn 30 and this guy's turning 21. He's a bit of the future for him, and that's where they've got to start turning. Rated and drafted as an outside midfielder. So it is his run and the ball use that they want. And you picked it right that they needed someone to actually carry the footy out of defence, and he's a prime target for that. And won't go too early because he only averaged 65 this year, but had a good ceiling. I think AFL Fantasy, his top score is about 128.
Yeah, and
let's some good games in Supercoach as well.
And Victorians have no idea about anyone outside of our state, so, you know, there you go. Boom.
That's true. My second guy, he didn't get much on the park this year. It's Mason Wood from North Melbourne. Been a big fan of this guy for a couple of years now. He's tall, he's athletic, he can take a grab. He's the perfect folly for Ben Brown in that forward line, I think, where if Ben Brown's playing deep, he's pushing up as that true centre-half forward role. We did see him play midfield as well when he was on the park this year. His forward pressure's pretty good. He can do it all, this guy. He did have a high ceiling. His top score this year was 127 in Supercoach, 117 Dream Team. So we do know the scoring potential's there. Just the average of 14 possessions, 4 marks, 2 tackles there. I see him as that Bontempelli mould where he'll play that forward mid role. So probably more forward time just to get his body right, but then pushing up into the midfield. But certainly one the North Melbourne fans can get excited about.
Oh, big trust issues for me, Jono. Big trust issues. That's the only reason.
Club or player?
No, player. I think he's got all the tricks in the world. He's, you know, big unit, fast, can find the ball, but just, you know.
Body issues?
I mean, you're never going to have to pick him early. So, I mean, if you pick him in round 20 and he breaks down, then who cares because he didn't spend much. But I just can't trust him. I just can't trust him. And they're going to be a shocking team.
My actual issue with him is his role, because what happens, who's going to be the top two forwards for North Melbourne next year?
Well, Ben Brown, and we don't know what's happening with the list yet, so they could still get rid of Jared Waite. So we don't know.
And that's my problem. The attention at the moment is Brown and White. And soon as it's only Brown and Wood, then all of a sudden he gets a better defender on him. And I think that's always that challenge. Is he good enough to actually start smashing a top line defender? And that's just the query.
Well, those tons that he scored were actually against Adelaide, so their defense isn't too shabby.
And that's where I just want to see it on a regular basis at the moment. But no doubt the player's got potential, but it's the old key forward is, you know, do they have the consistency for good enough fantasy scoring? So, certainly can go on purple patches, but I certainly don't draft him too often.
See, I don't think he would be playing that key forward. I see him as that Bont role where he's playing 50-50 mid-forward, so... I think even probably 60.
He's my Tom, ugly Tom, but he's in a terrible team.
But just you're in a terrible team doesn't mean you can't score. Look at Sean Higgins.
Yeah, but he's.
But they're going to have Motlop. They're going to get plenty of the footage.
Don't forget Paul Ahern's coming back in next year. They're cherry ripe.
He could have Lunchmate drilling the ball down his throat when he's not injured. Actually, him, Lunchmate and Jared Way could be next to each other on the trainer's table.
With Mason Wood in the middle.
Well, there you go.
Well, and we'll go to
and Sean Higgins is the fit one.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't it? We'll go to my second one, gentlemen. And as I normally do, I really hunt for the breakout players. So my next two I've actually picked out as breakout players. They're both going into their third season. They're both second-round draft picks from the 2015 draft. And the first one is a forward mid, and that's Kieran Lovell from Hawthorn Football Club. 20 years of age, you'll be 21 before the start of next season. In the 2015 Under-18 National Championship, he ranked elite for contested possessions and clearances and number one for disposals, averaging 35 possessions at the championships, gentlemen. Number one for the whole year. This guy is simply a ball magnet. Only injuries held him back this year, obviously, when they started blooding a few players. And as Hawks have a few more senior players leaving, the opportunities are going to be there to support Tom Mitchell in the guts. I think he'll easily make the 22. And should be part of that new midfield. But I also think he'll spend a bit of time up forward. So he'll be a little bit of that ball magnet down the forward line as well and uses it pretty well. So I think he'll be able to sneak a few goals. He's not fulfilling a Bruce-type role. He'll actually be resting down forward, a bit like Rocky does, for want of a better term. So he'll get a few goals as well. But I think he'll spend probably 50 or 60% time in the midfield. And you look at your Langfords type, they were sort of filling in positions this year. This is where Kieran Lovell will actually come in and showed, missed most of this season with the shoulder injury, but come back at the end of the year and played a bit of good VFL footy. Second game back, racked up over 30 possessions. So this kid's a ball magnet. They rated him very, very highly. Being in the third year, this is 2018's the year for Kieran Lovell.
Yeah, honestly, don't really know too much about him, so I'll be certainly keeping an eye out on him over the preseason.
Yeah, I know people were pretty hot on him, or at least keeping an eye on him heading into this season, mostly for salary cap purposes, I guess. So not much has changed other than that he's a year older. We'll see what happens with O'Meara, I guess.
But before we get into our third players, just want to let you guys know that we are on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you do love the show, hit the subscribe button. It goes to your device without you even having to look for it. And gents, we have a review this week thanks to Samba08. By Samba08, he says, listen to the guys often. Statesman, he needs to get more into Supercoach. Smiley face. Thanks for all the info, guys, throughout the year. Thanks, Samba. Keep up the good work and continue to listen to us throughout the preseason. Folks, just leave that review. As you saw by Samba, it takes a couple of minutes. Happy to read it out on air. So please do hit the subscribe and review buttons.
Yeah, and great advice as well.
Yeah, thanks to Sampa and No Chance.
Well, they give out 50 grand cash in Supercoach, not just a cap, so...
Exactly right. I just need the trophy, gentlemen.
So when are the hats coming? In a couple of weeks still? Or?
I got the email last week. They said within 28 days, so you'll see it very proudly as my brand new Twitter page. Gentlemen, I'll make sure that that's my little header.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, Steve, who have you got there for your third and final black booker?
Well, I've reached into the depths of the talent pools of the AFL for my third one, and I managed to come up with a number two draft pick, Tim Taranto. And we know he had a pretty good start to his year, played 12 of the first 13 games before suffering an injury, and then came back and managed to play the last round of the NEAFL where he found 29 possessions. But what I'm looking for Tim Taranto to have a breakout second season, which isn't really a common thing, but he is listed as a forward. We know that. That's handy. We're looking for Stevie J. We know he's retiring. Get out of there, Stevie. Lunch meat. We're looking for him to get out of town. Get out of town, lunch meat. Ryan Griffin's got that injury table. It's named after him when he leaves, I think. All right. We're looking for maybe one of the midfielders to leave. Maybe Josh Kelly takes the $38 million North are offering. Maybe Lockie Whitfield gets something. We don't know. And we're looking for Ryan Griffin to retire. But anyway, the thing Tim Taranto actually did really well, and I banged on about it before, GWS need pressure. Now, he averaged 4 tackles a game in his first season. That's really good. I like that. Scored okay. But the thing is, he was extremely handball happy, really held his scores down, I think, and he said in interviews he was playing safe. He didn't take the game on enough, he didn't play a natural game, but he felt like as the year got on and he got on the training track, things were coming better. I'm looking for that to switch, and I'm looking for him to start using his feet a bit more, and I love that forward pressure. I think it's all there for Tim Taranto. We know they're going to be a very good team again next year. There's no reason they won't be. I think it's all there for him.
Yeah, love it. And you throw in Jacob Hopper as well to that forward mix as well, and there's the pressure they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be honest, I rarely jump on a second year. I did off the waiver wire this year with Ryan Burton, and that paid off handsomely for me. But to be honest, there's not a lot that come in and make a major impact in fantasy scoring in their second season. It's actually generally the trigger points of the third and the fifth year. So third year, you have your explosion, and fifth year, you actually hit your peak. But every player is different, and once we start talking about those top 3 to 4 draft picks, then they're the ones that can make the difference. And Joel Selwood's a classic case. I think he was an elite scorer in his second year.
Well, we saw Clayton Oliver do it this year. I mean, it's not usual, and I'm not saying he's going to come out and average 92 or anything, but I think he can give you a low 80s average. And I think, quite frankly, guys, and the listeners, I think would do well to listen to this. I think the forward line is going to be pretty empty next year, and I think there's going to be a lot of fourth forwards who are averaging, or maybe even third forwards who are going to be averaging those low 80s. And I think there's going to be a need to use matchups more than ever. So if you can find a guy who can break out and maybe average that low 80, it's probably worth having on your team.
Yep,
totally agree. Now, I didn't reach the lower depths like Steve did. I went to the highest branch of the tree for my last guy. It's Jack Gunston from the Hawks. I believe he's going to get the DPP status this year. He's going to add the defense to his forward. With the retirements of Hodge and Gibson, the Hawks are going to be looking for some leadership down back to calm James Sicily's firebrand live wire there. So he's going to be playing that general role that Hodgie was doing. So he's going to be just racking up marks there, intercept marks, rebounding off half back there, pushing up with the wing. Probably won't play the midfield guts like Hodgie did, but and then when need be, he can swing forward and take another good mark and kick some more goals. So I'm really liking Jack Gunston for what he's going to do next year. Your thoughts, fellas?
Correct. I'm a little bit unsure, only because I think only one of Sicily and Gunston are going to remain in defence. And I reckon that both of them went there because you had Gibson out, because you had Stratton out, because you had, who was the Melbourne guy?
Frawley.
Frawley out, and then Birchall out. So I wonder, because then you add in Burton and probably a small, which might be Hardwick. All of a sudden you're talking seven defenders. So I'm a little bit unsure of which one of those, Sicily or Gunston, is going to play the role. I think both of them did it so well that one of them is going to end up being there. Mm. But who's potentially the better forward? Is it Gunston or is it Sicily?
I like both, really. They both can take a good mark, both good set shot on goal. So it's up to good old crazy Clarko to decide that one over the preseason. It's really going to be one you're going to have to watch, I think.
Because you're not taking Burton out. I don't think Frawley can play anywhere else. Stratton can't play anywhere else. Birchall will fit back in if fit, but I think his signature's on for another 1 or 2 years. And then you've got your young rebounding, whether that be Hardwick, Duray, or whoever the case may be.
Mm. You certainly one to watch over the preseason, that's for sure.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was ready to get stuck into you, but Staceman jumped in first. Thanks, buddy. I was coming with the fire and brimstone. Sorry. No, that's fine. but I think you will get defensive status, so that's how it is. I've got him in the keepers, correct. And I'm actually looking. I know he'll get defensive status, but I think he'll go back to forward. But, you know, Hawthorn showed maybe they're up and about, and maybe that's not a bad thing anyway going forward.
True. He's been a 90 average forward before.
Yeah, absolutely, and very consistent.
Scores dropped a little bit this year, down to the mid-80s, so, but that's because of their poor start to the year, I think, as well, which affected it greatly.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now you've done your white booker, I'll actually go back to the black bookers for my third pick. And again, this is a breakout opportunity, and it's for a defender for Port Adelaide, being Riley Bonner. Been impressed with this young fellow for quite a while. He's going into his third season, 20, turning 21, second-round draft pick from 2015. He's an attacking rebound defender, and we all know their scoring potential after what happened this year and the way the game is changing. And he is a metres gained specialist, leading that statistic in the under-18 championship year for him. He's progressing well in the SANFL, averaging over 20 possessions a game at that level as the running halfbacker, and earned a place in the Port side for the last two rounds of the year. Debate this week whether he remains in the team for finals or Matthew Broadbent takes his position. Apparently Broadbent's going to be out now, so that should mean that Riley Bonner, you get the opportunity to see what he's like at finals level. He's quite impressive, gentlemen, uses the footy extremely well, booming big kick. He's played 3 games at AFL level, 1 last year, 2 this year, of an average of 75. So his first 3 games, he's already fantasy averaging 75 and should build into an 80-plus point defender easily next year.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Broadbent's not going to be playing the first final this week and already averaging more than the man himself. So tick, tick, tick.
Well, what does Port's backline look like next year, Staceman? I guess that's the big question.
Yeah, and that's where this is where I like Riley Bonner. Although he's going to be named in defence, he's that type, a bit like Brodie Smith, where you can either play him on the wing as that big booming kick going into attack, or you can use him as the rebound defender. So they've got 2 other young smallest defenders in, I was going to say Reece Jones, but I'm sure that was a comedian. Darcy Byrne Jones. And you also have young Houston that looks pretty impressive. But both Houston and Bonner actually can play through midfielders, outside midfielders as well. So it depends on what they decide to do with Hamish Hartlett. And I think three or all four of those will get games in their best 22. And it's the change that they need to make, is this become this running side again with really good skills, because that's what those three have got.
What about Pittard?
Well, I'm putting a line through Pittard, to be quite honest with you. And I've discussed this quite a bit. He just doesn't retain the footy. And with these young players, that's what they're doing. And what's the aims of one of the rebound defenders? Well, it's for your team to retain the footy. And that's his big fault. And I reckon that's why he's lost his spot to Burn Jones.
DBJ,
and Houston this year. So he's got another one coming through that he's going to lose his spot to.
Well, on that Pitta thing, I thought they were going to put him up for trade this year. There's talks of that, so.
And it could very well be. Yeah, absolutely. And look, let's face it, Pittard's been around for what, 7, 8 years? And he's had a good 18 months.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's hard to find the ball in that back line with Matty Broadbent.
Well, see, Broadbent was more of a winger for most of that time, and I reckon all these boys have passed them. Wow. So the three that I mentioned, Houston, DBJ, and Bonner, are all going to be ahead of them next year, both Broadbent and Pittard.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. So there you have it, listeners, our 9 black bookers for 2018. Be sure to keep up with us throughout the preseason, because next week, listeners, we're talking keeper leagues. So if you've got any questions regarding keeper leagues, send them in to Twitter at the Draft Doctors at Statesman33. Send them.
You're going to send me all the questions, gentlemen, so I can tell everyone just how to play.
On the spot.
Right.
You just draft the old boys, don't you? Isn't that the plan? Just get them in.
Right.
Get the old boys. Win a flag.
Get them in early. Send them in through Instagram, The Draft Doctors there, or via the Facebook page, The Draft Doctors. the finals, I don't know.
Back on the darts, mate.
No. That's all the carcinogenics I'm swallowing at work.
God.
Gentlemen, just drink all the veggie juice and you don't get these things that you guys keep on doing, coughing and spluttering.
You live with a child, mate. I'll take you down. I challenge that bloody... I challenge your veggie juice, mate. Don't worry about that.
Well, the finals are here. If your teams are in it, good luck to you. Let's hope Richmond go out in straight sets, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.